This is The Wheel Weaves, a Wheel of Time podcast with no spoilers. Hey everyone, I'm your host Annie, and I'm the first-time reader going through this series chapter by chapter. As always, there's no spoilers past the chapter we're covering, and that means it's totally safe for first-time readers. I'm joined by my co-host Brett, who's a longtime fan, and he's guiding me on this journey. We'd like to thank and acknowledge our executive producers, Brandy and Aaron Kirkwood, Sean McGuire, Yanis, Albert Lorenzo, Light-Blinded Fool, Green Man, Davis Ferreira, Kristen Gilreath, and Logan Tyler Story. And before we get into things today, we just want to thank and welcome Eric Reed as the newest member of our Patreon team. We want to also thank and acknowledge Ben Wilder, who increased his pledge over at patreon.com/thewheelweavespodcast. Thank you so much for your generosity and your support. We really appreciate it. In this episode, we're talking about chapters 9 and 10 of Winter's Heart.
Yeah, so chapter 9 is A Cup of Tea, and chapter 10 is A Plan Succeeds. Yeah, I love these chapters.
Do you?
Great combination, great cliffhangers, great reveals, good little mystery.
I just, like, hate when everyone's being so stupid.
Or are they being brilliant? Are they being super smart?
Elaine and Nynaeve and Egwene?
Yep. I know what I said. I said it. Are they just, like, you know, playing it up?
Nope.
Okay. We'll get there. But first we gotta get through the action sequence.
At some point we have to learn from our past experiences.
Yeah. So, you know what's funny too, is a little while ago you asked me, is there anything that you ever, like, totally forget happens in the book?
Yeah.
And I have to say, usually it's a no. Like, I generally remember the gist of everything that happened, so I'm not like, shocked. But in this chapter with Dailin, I totally forget one part of her sequence here.
Oh.
And I'll bring it up when we get there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, interesting.
And
All right.
It made me laugh out loud. It was so good.
Anyways, okay.
Yeah. We'll get there.
Okay.
So I'm going to start us off with a fun fact, and you may have picked up in these chapters that peaches are poisonous in Randland.
Peach pits.
Yeah, well, no, peaches.
No.
So, okay, in Randland, peaches are poisonous. The entire peach.
Okay.
It's a thing.
Okay, but in this, they said peach pits.
The entire peach is poisonous.
Okay, I haven't got that.
The pit is the most deadly part.
Okay.
But anyways, it's a thing. So it's a funny little, like, ism that peaches are poisonous.
Okay.
We've actually heard it before.
Okay.
But anyways, there's some fun facts about it, because peaches being poisonous in the Wheel of Time is based on the fact that in the real world, peach pits contain a chemical called cyanogenic glycosides, which, when broken down by the human body, release cyanide, which is poisonous.
Yeah.
So, okay, there's a few fresh fruits that actually have a similar property. So, cherries, plums, peaches, nectarines, apricots.
Stone fruits.
Yeah.
There's a category.
Okay. I don't know. Fruit. That's what it's called. Yeah. I don't know enough about fruit. So.
Stone fruits.
Okay.
It's because their pit is like a stone.
Yeah. So a couple pits, if they're accidentally swallowed, typically it's not going to cause poisoning. The pits are more poisonous if they're ground up or crushed, or the seeds are chewed.
That's the same as apple seeds.
Okay. Arsenic. Like a lot. So yeah.
Yeah. You can like make arsenic from a jillion apple
seeds.
In
like mass quantities. Yeah. Anyways. So in the Wheel of Time, this, you know, fact of peaches in the real world, it sort of evolved into the whole peach, the entire peach, being deadly. And some people had questions for Robert Jordan about it too.
Wow.
Because, like, hey, why are the whole peaches poisonous? Like, do you just hate peaches, or
did,
like,
I
what's going on?
Did I just miss that?
I think maybe.
Okay,
I think maybe.
Just
but
didn't matter.
The whole peach is poisonous. Anyways, so Robert Jordan gave pretty much the exact same answer as I did. But at one point, Harriet added the detail that this is on par with the 18th century belief that tomatoes were poisonous.
Oh.
So I had to look that up too, because she's like, oh, some people just have allergic.
Nightshade. Is it because of deadly nightshade?
No.
Because tomatoes are in the deadly nightshade family.
Yes. So there was suspicions of tomatoes being poisonous prior, but it was a European thing. So in the 1700s, a large percentage of Europeans feared the tomato, and the nickname for the fruit was poison apple, because it was thought that aristocrats got sick and died after eating them. But part of the truth is that the wealthy people used pewter plates that had high lead contents, and since tomatoes are acidic, they'd leach the lead from the plates, and then people would die. There's more to it than that, but as a general sense. Okay. But it's just funny that it's like, oh, there's a whole thing about different fruits being poisonous. But in Randland, peaches, poisonous.
Okay.
The pit, more so.
Yeah.
Okay, don't go eating peaches in Randland.
Don't do it.
If you get teleported there, don't do it.
Don't.
Okay. Remember this.
All right.
Remember this conversation.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for that.
Now we can begin the fun.
Oh, good. Okay, so last time we were here, Elaine rode through the streets of Camelin.
Yes.
It was exciting. Relatively uneventful. When she got back to the palace, she learned that two of her competitors for the throne have escaped her hold on them.
Yep.
Vandine and the new kin novices are sure about who must be the Black Aja within their group.
Mm-hmm.
The sea folk are now in charge of questioning the Damani and Suldam that Rand sent to Elaine from the Altara battle.
As a nice present.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's basically it.
That was it. A little bit of setup.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think it's funny now, especially with the Damani and Suldam being here, all of the groups of channelers, like women channelers that exist, are now here and together.
Well,
for the most part.
Not the Sharans. There's Sharan channelers. Shara. Shara's a place.
Oh!
Don't, come on.
I was thinking Shinarin when you said that. No, Shara. I was like, well,
on the other side of the Aiel Waste.
Okay, those ones. But we have nothing, we don't know anything. So the ones we know about and have met.
And have had like the most contact. We've had like a couple touch points.
And the ones who are not connected to the tower, but that Egwene wants to be connected to the tower, are all now here in the palace.
Everybody's here. It's a party.
We're all here.
It's a party.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so chapter 9 is called A Cup of Tea, and the chapter symbol is, drumroll, the Forsaken.
Forsaken.
Forsaken chapter symbol.
Which usually implies there's a Forsaken.
Yeah.
So, like, where's the Forsaken?
Because,
you know, not technically.
Well, you know what? I'd say it's a Forsaken plot.
Okay, I will accept that. Based on what we get next chapter.
Well,
I'll
especially,
accept that,
yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Or Master Nori
is actually Lanfear.
It
makes sense. I was going to say that. I don't want to spoil that for you.
Is Dailin actually Lanfear?
Actually Lanfear, both.
Is that what you remember?
She switches.
You forgot about that in her plot line?
No, she switches the mask and it's like, boom. First she's Nori, then she's Dailin. It's great.
So many. Everybody's Lanfear. It's been a while since I said that. I think I need to start bringing that back.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Elaine's perspective. Elaine is back in her rooms now after all of that information getting.
Yeah.
She's getting changed because she's off to see Nori and then some merchants and she wants
last,
to
last time she didn't want to see Nori.
Yeah, she didn't get there.
Yeah.
So, now she's going to do that and that's it.
She's got to look good.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a lot of jewelry.
I don't care about
because
that.
Because a lot of it's like in pawn right now.
Yeah, we know.
Okay. It's not going well.
No. But she's going to head to her sitting room, and Nori is already there waiting for her, which is a bit of a surprise, but he's got important news.
Yes.
So, Nori starts breaking down all of this news. First and most important is that a large amount of alum has been found on one of Elaine's estates.
Yeah, it's a type of salt.
Salt?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it's not metal. It's a type of salt that's in the real world, too, used for... like dyes, weaving, glass making, paper making.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know enough about like salt, but like, I Googled it because I didn't know what alum was.
Yes.
Type of salt.
Type of salt.
Not metal.
I would have assumed a type of made up metal.
Well, aluminum, like that's
the
obvious.
That's where my...
Not that. Mm-hmm. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
And there's different types of alums.
You know, in England and different places, they say it very funny.
Aluminium.
That's right.
That's right, yeah.
That's right. But it's not that.
Make a dagger out of my aluminium.
Yeah, it's just alum.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
But this is great news because that means money.
Money. Yes.
Money.
That's the
money,
we found money. We found money. We can get money.
We got some money. And
we
we're super
make,
broke. So
we
this
can
is
make
great
the banks
news.
Lend us money
that's
because
right.
It's like, hey, we're gonna have money because
we've got the alum.
Yeah, in the future. So like, let me borrow that money so that we can fund the army.
Yeah,
and the school.
Which I have some thoughts on.
It's not a school yet.
Well, no. Yeah, everybody knows my thoughts on schools.
Okay.
and the fact that this is just a cluster of inventors.
It just in bars. Like, they're basically, like, talking in pubs
right now
because there is no...
All of that I could care less about at this moment. What I do care about is what Elaine says about the academy...
Yeah.
That Rand is setting up all over the place. He's setting up a bunch of academies because he wants to leave something behind.
Yeah.
This is his endeavor.
Yeah.
And Elaine's like, No.
Not anymore. It's not.
It's mine.
Yeah.
This is not Randall Thor Academy. This is the Academy of the Rose in memory of Morgaze Trekkand.
Yeah.
This is my academy now.
Yes.
And Elaine.
Rude.
No.
Rude.
You can't.
He already has a way better one in Kyrian.
This is his.
Yeah, I mean, you know what?
I agree with you.
I
understand her point about everything wanting Rand out of here. She wants to do everything herself, whatever, whatever. I get it.
Yeah.
This?
Yeah.
You can't just take his school.
First off, he heard about the flags being taken down, and it's like, whoa. And now if he finds out about the school, it's going to be like double whoa.
Well, it's just rude. You're right.
It's rude.
This is his thing.
I get it.
She can't just steal all his things.
I know people are going to be coming to the defense of Elaine, too, and like, this is why she's doing it. But, you know,
get your own podcast.
The Randall Thor School for Morgaze memory and learning, teaching people how to read good and want to learn how to do other stuff good too. Yeah. It's like, just like be like the Randall Thor wing. I don't know.
No way.
Yeah.
No way, no how is Elaine doing that.
There's ways we could go about this.
I don't know. Rude.
Yeah. Anyways.
Okay. Anyway.
That's the most important.
This leads to the second piece of news.
Yeah.
That the White Tower has issued a proclamation acknowledging Randall Thor as the Dragon Reborn, offered him protection and guidance, and says nobody can talk to him except for us.
Yeah, we saw that last
book. And we knew that, right?
Yeah, we saw Alviarin making Elida sign that order.
That's right.
Yeah, so there is a little bit of back and forth about the money.
Maybe that's the Forsaken, because we know that Alviarin's orders are coming from Masana.
Yeah.
So maybe that's part of the
It could be. Sake it's in. Such a little piece of the information here, and Nori does have a bit of a conversation about, like, oh, there is some money from Kyrian, but, like, do we want to have that tacked back to us because of this whole proclamation, and now we're, like, working with the Dragon Reborn, not
plus
through the tower.
Plus Rand, like,
yeah.
isn't going to accept that offer, but then Nori's like, maybe he already did.
Based on some of my sources, he may have already done that, based on something that someone said in Kyrian.
Plus...
Yeah, it's basically Lane's getting caught up to speed on all the things. So there was the attack on the Sun Palace.
Yep.
And it could have been anybody. Aes Sedai, maybe Ashaman, maybe Forsaken. Rand's apartments were destroyed. He's vanished. He might be gone to Tar Valon or dead or who knows.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways.
That's it.
That's the news.
That's what it is.
Nori
doesn't
think that Rand is dead.
No, he's like, I met that guy. That guy's not dead.
Probably not dead. Yeah.
Took a lot to kill that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Elaine for sure doesn't believe that he's going to submit himself to Elida because, like, he's a stubborn dick.
Oh, yeah.
Of course he's not going to do that.
No, but Elaine is not privy to the whole capture business.
No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
She has to get caught up to speed on more things, but...
That's true.
It's interesting because, like, she goes through all the possibilities in her head, too, and she thinks that, like, worst case scenario about this attack would it be, like, it would be coming from the Ashaman.
Yes.
Because she's like, oh, no, his... creation has turned against him.
Yeah, and we know that kind of maybe
a little bit of that.
Yeah, it was certainly part of that.
Yeah.
If not all.
It wasn't not, maybe not completely, but like definitely in part.
Yeah.
Anyways, so that was the worst.
That's the worst.
Anyways.
Elaine also gets a summary on the rest of the information that Nori has for her, and some of it's old and mostly not important at all.
Yeah, the biggest things, so Tyr has Sea Folk ships coming through. There's rumors that the Sea Folk fought the Seanchan, but Elaine or Nori doesn't think like that's true. It's all rumors. Ilion's quiet and full of Rand soldiers. We saw that. The Queen of Saldea is still in her long retreat in the country. The Queen of Kandor hasn't been seen in Seanchan. The King of Shinar is supposedly in the Blight border somewhere.
Yes. We're about to learn where they actually all are.
And we saw them. We know that they're not there. And we know they're all together.
Yeah, no.
And then we also get the little tidbit about King Rohirran of Mirandi is gathering nobles. And there's like the worry of the two big armies camped near the border.
Yeah.
And we know that that's kind of a timestamp for where Egwene is.
Yeah. Well, and then next chapter we get Egwene saying, I'm in Mirandi.
Yes.
So then we get a...
So at this point in time, if we weren't sure yet if Egwene is left, she is not
And I
yet.
Wasn't, and I asked.
Yeah.
I asked the what gods for a timestamp.
There you go.
And they delivered here for me.
And we also saw the King Rohirran stuff from Talmanis' conversation with Egwene.
I was going to say, this whole King Rohirran thing is the Band of the Red Hand, right? Like, they're with him?
Maybe partially not. Talmanis isn't going to get, you know, caught up into anything they don't want to get caught up into.
Yeah, but so. It sounded like I had predicted that maybe it was almost part of Talmanis's plan.
And it could be. It could be.
I thought he had come up with that.
Yeah.
So, okay. There's one more point that Nori here forgets.
Yeah, in quotes, forgets.
I forgot to mention this. It's because he's like, when he's talking about the King Rodran stuff.
Yeah.
Egwene has told Elaine
in
Teleron Riad about what's happening there.
Yes.
And then Elaine has information for Nori.
Yeah.
That.
So she knows more than he does.
He didn't have. And then he was impressed by her.
Yeah.
And so now he's sharing some more information. Like, that's what it kind of seems like.
It could be.
That's how Elaine is interpreting the
situation.
She is.
Yeah, she is. And I mean, we know the King Rodran stuff. Like, the point that she brings up is that he's not a threat to Andor. King Rodran is trying to take over Mirandi for himself. Because we know it's just like a collection of little nobles.
So what he forgot to mention.
Yeah.
Is that Elaine's intention to claim the Sun Throne is pretty well known throughout Andor and Kyrian.
Yeah, well, she has lots of support
and
from the Kyrian.
And she has lots of support in Kyrian. And they're talking openly about coming to support Elaine's claim.
In Andor.
In Andor.
So that she can go back and,
also
take
have
Kyrian.
The Sun Throne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is bad.
And Elaine's like, that would be a disaster.
That would be very bad. We know. Don't bring in foreign armies to conquer your own country.
Yes.
People don't like that.
No. But we also don't want to insult and offend the people who are supporting me.
But also, if you're Elaine, just recruit all the foreigners into a new army, and because that's basically what she's doing right now.
That's part of it.
That's part of it, which is also not great, which is the point of the, you know, we need to be cautious part of Elaine's recruitment plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the plan is send a letter.
Yeah.
To every major house in Kyrian, saying, thanks so much.
Super appreciate it.
Definitely coming.
Yep.
Gonna be there soon.
Yep.
Dealing with some stuff here first.
Yeah, you sit tight. I'll be right over.
Soon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And then Nori ends up leaving and tells Elaine he reminds her of Morghese.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, but like in these two chapters, this first half or three quarters of this first chapter is just Nori and Elaine catching each other up to speed on world events that
Which
we already know.
Which is really, yeah.
Yeah, like we already know.
And reminders for us.
A little bit.
Because a lot of the stuff he's talking about didn't happen in this first half of the book.
Yeah.
So this is recap.
A little, yeah,
but
it is.
Like,
it is. A little bit of recap.
It's recap. It's getting a character caught up to speed to help us remember what's happening.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So now at this point, three maids come in with meal choices for Elaine.
Yeah.
We get some big descriptions of her options. And, you know,
she goes for the soup.
She does. It's
broth.
It's problematic.
Is it?
Yes.
Why?
I've had some people chat with me about how this kind of thing in books is very problematic.
Okay.
Because it has Elaine deciding that she shouldn't eat food.
Yeah.
That's like heavy. Mm-hmm. That's big. A lot of food, a lot of calories, whatever.
Get sleepy.
Get sleepy, but also get fat.
Okay. Doesn't help that Evienda, just like a couple chapters ago, was like, oh,
you eat fatty.
You eat sweets like a
also,
little piggy.
Also, that was part of some of the conversation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that in itself is also problematic.
Yes.
The fact that she's not allowed to eat candy, the fact that she's gobbling it down and then feels guilty about it, and then the fact that she has these other yummy choices and chooses the clear
broth and tea...
And then tells herself, oh, it's because I don't want to be foggy later. And also, I need to fit into my dresses.
Yes.
So it's like, it is problematic.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. And like, it makes sense for me in Elaine's point of view that she has some issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just not great.
Yeah. It's not.
And could be triggering for some people reading.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Have dealt with some of the same issues.
Now, I don't want to make light of the situation. But
she's about to be poisoned.
The bigger problem with the meal isn't the broth.
Yeah.
It's the tea.
It's how predictable it is.
What? Really?
Yeah.
You really? Cause...
No. Never mind.
Okay.
It's how predictable Elaine is.
Ooh, okay.
That
okay.
they knew exactly what she was going to pick to eat.
Yeah.
And drink.
Yeah. that the tea kind of seemed like that was going to be a thing.
No, she chose it. There was like other options. There were also there was spiced wine. There were other options for her.
Oh,
there were lots of options, but gotcha. She's so predictable.
She is very, and we've gotten that she's predictable in the next chapter when they're like, you do the same thing every day,
and you don't have a bodyguard.
Then no bodyguards.
Except, you know, it's a really good idea. You know who you should put in charge of your bodyguard?
Dylan.
No, you should put Dylan in charge.
Dylan in charge. I'll show you why in a second. Okay, let's keep going.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so Elaine sits down. She can't eat much of her meal of clear broth and tea, but she's having some sips of her super minty tea, which honestly, I didn't pick up on. I forgot.
No, I know. That's, yeah.
Okay, you forgot? You knew that I was going to forget to watch out for minty tea?
Yes, because because we saw minty tea in a not fork root setting before.
Yeah.
And I pointed it out, and you've missed it then, too. So I figured you'd miss it again.
Yeah, but you thought maybe I listened and remembered.
No, okay, that's no, sweet.
You thought I was going to miss it.
Yeah, no.
As soon as she starts getting too sleepy,
and she's like, I should drink more of this tea to make me less sleepy.
Yeah.
Anyways, then I was like, no. This is proof also that mint is the worst flavor.
Mint is gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like a peppermint.
You're
going to
offend a whole lot of people, but mint is just like, leave it out.
Leave it in toothpaste and candy canes.
Yeah.
Gum?
No, yeah, not even in candy canes. Like,
what? Yeah. You don't like a peppermint candy cane?
No, it's like the most boring of flavors.
No, it is not. Yeah. It's spicy.
Yeah, and I know what you're going to say. It's like, oh, I love spearmint.
I do love spearmint.
Those are the worst candy canes.
What about you chew gum?
Yeah. Not spearmint gum.
What?
When have I ever had spearmint gum?
I know you chew gum.
Yeah, I do. Not spearmint.
Oh, I love spearmint.
Gross. Oh, my God. Okay. That's not the important part of the best mint.
Okay.
No,
anyway, at this point, Dylan storms in.
Yeah. Very important news.
And announces that there's an army in Bram Wood. It's nothing like they've seen since the Aiel War. It's men from Arafel, Kandor, Shinar, and probably one other place too, right?
Well,
I thought there were four.
There are.
Saldea.
She just doesn't mention it here.
Okay, but there's tens of thousands of them.
So many.
Thousands.
We know those guys.
Yeah,
we know them.
I wondered where they were.
Yeah, here they are.
So Dylan is super unsettled about this news. What are Borderlanders doing here? What's going on? Elaine gets super sleepy, drinks more tea.
Yeah.
Elaine's probably Rand. Just blame everything on Rand.
And she's not wrong, I know. Probably. Like, it all has to do, everything has to do with Rand.
Yeah.
All the time, it's always Rand.
Yeah. But Dylan seems to think that she means Rand has sent them to help Elaine. Yeah.
And then she's like, maybe. Yeah. Maybe that.
No.
That's probably not it.
Definitely not it. And Elaine is yawning again, and then she suddenly stares into her cup and thinks, oh no, minty tea.
Oh yeah, I know. It's so good. And so many, and the yawning, and she starts yawning, and then it's like,
she tries to put her cup down, but misses the saucer and spills the tea.
Yeah.
And she thinks, ah, fork root.
Got me. Not again. Ah, I hate it.
Shoot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so now is the action sequence. This is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. So she tries to grasp it, Sidar. Obviously can't.
Yeah.
She can feel Brigida in the back of her mind.
Yeah,
and
so she
tries to fill the bond with fear and panic.
Yeah, like stuff that bond in your brain. Be like, oh my God.
Come get me.
Yeah.
Come help.
So hopefully.
Dylan realizes something's happening.
So this is actually a very interesting dynamic because Elaine's immediate thought process when she's poisoned, she thinks that it's Dylan
who did that. Yeah.
So then when Dylan realizes something's up, and after Elaine says, you know, get help, I've been poisoned. She, like, stands up and grabs her knife.
And then Elaine is like, oh no, she's going to stab me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that's when the servant pops his head in. And so Elaine's like, oh, good. Dylan's not going to kill me.
In front of a servant.
Yeah, in front of a servant. So it's actually, like, a really funny dynamic of what Elaine's thought process is originally.
Yeah. Well, it kind of threw me off.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, is Dylan part of this?
That's been my question the entire time. It's like, oh, do we trust Dylan? And Elaine the entire time has been like on edge.
Wary
about her.
Of Dylan.
Yeah. Is she just like biding her time for the right moment to take me down?
Yeah.
So.
Okay. But the man who's coming in draws a long knife and then two more men come in and Elaine's like, ah, no, I'm not going to die like a kitten in a sack. And she like pushes herself to her feet, but she's
respectable,
super groggy.
Yeah.
And then Dylan starts howling, murder, guards, murder.
Yeah.
And then she picks up a chair. And
this is the part. I forgot, because in my mind, Dylan is like an older, not frail, but like she's a little bit of an older, more experienced lady. But here, she picks up a chair and whips it at the assassins.
And knocks him out.
Takes two of them down and then like goes to town with her knife.
Well, and like, let's think about chairs in this sitting room.
Yeah.
It's probably not like a wobbly folding chair from Elaine's tent.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
It's not like a flimsy, wimpy chair.
Not like a lawn chair. This is probably like a heavy, like a
solid, gilded...
Yes.
Armchair thing.
So like she has to probably pick it up by the back of it and like do a twist and spin toss maybe.
Yeah, throw with your back.
Get some distance. She's got the height advantage, so like good for her. But I forgot that she whips a chair first. Like I know she defends Elaine, but in my brain.
Okay. Of all the things to have forgot, like
I love it. That's why she should be in charge of the guard.
This is such tiny thing. I thought you would forgot that like Dylan comes in and
no, I remember Dylan defends her. That's a pretty big plot point.
You have, that's the just kind of thing I would forget. Okay, I wouldn't forget that like Dylan was here when this happened. The chair toss.
It's great.
That's what you forgot.
Anyways,
I'm less excited about that.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was going to be a big thing. I thought you forgot maybe like the David Hanlon thing.
Oh, God, No.
I thought it was going to be a pretty big thing you forgot. That's like exciting for me that you didn't know something.
This was fun. This was good. Anyways. Poor Dylan, not a good knife fighter.
No, she goes down.
Yeah, so that's sad. Doesn't die.
We learned that.
Okay.
But I think she's dead here.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yes.
Okay, interesting. Because
she was lying, motionless, on the floor, bleeding out.
Yes, that makes sense.
So I thought for sure she was dead. And I was like, okay, casualty, someone who supported Elaine, not great for Elaine.
Yeah.
But this type of casualty in this setting makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And then next chapter... Whoop, not dead.
Healing exists as a magical healing.
I know, but like by the time someone gets to them, she's bled out.
Yeah, I get it.
I just thought Dylan as a casualty here made sense.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
And then, nope, though.
You're going to kill off Dylan? You kidding me?
Yeah, sure.
After the chair toss? No.
Yeah, exactly.
She lives forever.
It turns out.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, that's the whole thing. It's a fight. There is a man who's coming.
So and the guy who doesn't get knocked down by the chair
gets
and falls into the other
thrust,
guy.
Like through his back.
Yeah, sword. It's a sword.
It's a sword thrust through his back, through his chest. It's a whole thing. He goes down. Elaine's almost unconscious, and she's basically just sending out vibes.
Okay, so
try to get Avienda and Brigida.
The specifics are very important for this chapter.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like super muddled because Elaine's thoughts are muddled.
I mean, it's a little bit muddled. So
okay, break it down. Then.
Okay, so we got Dylan taking down two guys with the chair, and then the one guy still standing comes up to Elaine. He's super cautious because, like, clearly they don't know if she can channel or what. So he goes up to stab her, gives a nod. He's like, "Okay, I got this." And then that's when the sword goes through his chest.
Do you think that he knew he was going to die? Do you think he was part of? Because this is
don't weird. Ask me.
Because we learned...
What do you think?
Yeah, because we learned that this Melon... What's his name?
Melar. So then, Elaine looks up and sees another one of the assassins are dead.
Guardsmen, right?
Yeah. So, no. So she says another one of the assassins dead, and then she sees a guardsman, dressed as a guardsman, like, wrestling, basically, with the last assassin. And then she blacks out.
Okay.
Okay. So that's what we see.
Yeah.
Great cliffhanger for a chapter. If we had have ended here, I feel like for the episode, that would have been like good to get predictions.
Yeah, would have been good to get predictions about what's happening here.
Yeah.
If you can right away,
take us back a little bit.
Yeah. And in the first little bit of explanation in the next chapter, that's when I started making some predictions.
Okay.
So maybe we can get to it then. If we had ended here, I don't know how much I would have had because I was a little bit confused about what was even really happening.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So we're going to move into the next chapter. But first, let's take a really quick break.
Yeah.
And then we'll come on back.
All right.
Okay. So we're back with chapter 10, A Plan Succeeds.
Yes.
And the chapter symbol is the Teleranriad symbol.
Yeah, the ring.
The ring.
Yeah.
Every time. Okay, here's where I'm going to give you predictions.
Okay.
In a little bit.
A little bit of time to digest that. the thought process.
Well, I need to hear the perspective of Brigida and Elaine.
Okay.
When Brigida's breaking down for Elaine, what happened.
Okay.
And then that's when I start to really understand, you know, who's who and kind of what's happening. And I think, ooh, okay. Because so Dylan lived.
Yeah.
And here we open the chapter with Elaine opening her eyes. It's dark. She doesn't really know where she is and what's going on. Because my initial thought of the whole Elaine being drugged situation is, ah, here we go again.
Oh, like she's going to get kidnapped and wake up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, she's here because Brigida made it to her after all the, quote, assassins were killed.
Right. We don't know the exact time frame of that, but
no, we don't.
She got there at some point, probably.
Yeah, and then we also get that Nynaeve has given her something to sleep because the hangover from Forkroot apparently is really bad as it gets out of her system. So we get Brigida breaking down for Elaine what happened.
Yes, yeah.
And Elaine says, I think Dylan proved her loyalty today, and I think I have towed towards her. And then that's when we learn Avienda's here sitting on the floor, and she's like, whatever, if you think you do, then I guess you do. But, like, you had reason to doubt her, so not really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I always, like, there could be a second interpretation is, was Elaine saying that she has towed because Dylan essentially sacrificed her life to save her.
Yeah, there's more going on here than just like,
but it seems like the biggest part is that she doubted that Dylan was loyal to her, and that's what where the toe is, you know, due. So
right. And then a quick little recap about the bond between Brigida versus the bond between Avienda and Elaine and how they're different. But then
Brigida's kind of like adopted Avienda as like a second younger sister, sort of.
Yeah.
Because it's like they're all together.
It's all a thing that's happening. And they've also told Avienda who Brigida is.
Yes.
So that's a thing.
She is actually Brigida.
Brigida. All right, now we get Brigida showing the assassin's daggers and saying that they were not trying to kidnap Elaine, they were trying to kill her.
Yes.
It was a murder plot.
Yeah, yeah. So here's where we kind of get into the muddled stuff.
Right, because we have Melar, the guard.
The guardsman who came in at the last moment.
At the last moment, and he killed him, and it was almost like this crazy thing where he throws his sword, and it's, oh my goodness, lucky enough for Tavirin.
Yeah.
Or something like that. But it's like, no, this obviously was a big plan.
Okay, explain that to me. I just want to make sure you understand what's going on here.
Okay.
So number one, Melar, Doylen Melar.
Yeah.
Is in fact
Hanlon,
David Hanlon, the super violent guy who is a super bad dark friend who we've seen a bunch of times.
Yeah.
So he is.
Well, and the last time we saw him,
yeah,
he was getting orders from, what's her name, Cheyenne.
Lady Cheyenne, yes.
And she was like, how do you want a queen?
Yes.
And he was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. And so we had some speculation with, like, who's the queen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So not only spies, but also bad guys.
Yes, definitely.
Dark friends and bad guys.
So I have a question. Yeah. We don't learn the David Hanlon reveal.
Till the very end.
To the very last, sentence.
I had an emotional reaction.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you know?
No.
You had no idea?
No. So, but in this moment when they're like, oh my God, this Melar guy, he totally saved your life. And Elaine's like, oh my goodness, he needs to be rewarded. I was like, hackles went up.
Oh, really?
Like that feeling, I was like, this guy's no good.
Oh, okay,
And I was like, no way, this guy just happened to be here.
Well, you know what's also bad? There's four identical daggers.
Yeah.
One is poisoned.
Yeah.
There's only three assassins. Why would three assassins have four identical daggers?
Oh. And they don't reason that out?
No, well, why? And why is one the super poisonous one? And you could speculate, like, oh, you have, because Elaine tries to come up with
this dumb plan. She's like, oh, this is complicated. And it's like, yes, it's complicated because that's stupid. And there's no way that's
four crew so plan. I can't channel, two men to hold me on my feet, while a third puts the poison dagger in me.
Why would anybody need to hold you on your feet if they're just going to stab you and you've been fork rooted?
Yeah. It's kind of like it's overly complicated, but I mean we can kind of like reason out now that we know that Mellar is
bad guy
David Hanlon. Mm-hmm. This is clearly like a setup plan by him.
Yeah,
send in three assassins to be like, hey, kill the queen, and then he doesn't necessarily tell them that, hey, I'm gonna murder you.
I'm gonna save her from you.
I'm gonna because obviously they don't go in knowing they're gonna die today.
Well, that's what I was thinking too, because maybe the one guy who was going in and was like going slowly and was kind of hesitant.
Yeah.
Maybe did know that Mellar was going to come in and, quote, try to stop him.
Okay.
But maybe he didn't think it was going to be like a...
I'm going to murder you.
I'm going to murder you.
Yeah, I'm going to murder all three of you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes sense.
Because the fact, like, why would he go in and, like, kind of go slow motion and look unsteady about this... I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's the whole thing when they're describing the story, Birgitta says, hey, you know, it's easy to reach you because everyone knows you do the same thing every day.
Yeah.
So maybe we should switch up your routine, number one.
Yeah.
But she also mentions that, hey, it's lucky that the first guy to reach you didn't have this poison dagger made of peach pits ground up or whatever.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But good thing he didn't have that poison dagger, because one stab with that and you'd be dead no matter what.
Yeah.
Right? So it makes more sense that David Hanlon brought in the poison dagger, because he still has to kill three guys, which is a feat.
Yeah.
So you'd want to have a really good poison dagger where you really only got to nick somebody to take them down, right? So it kind of makes more sense, because
so the
story
title,
goes...
So the title, A Plan Succeeds...
David Hanlon's
plan succeeded.
Yes. Can at the very end, he's like, my plan went exactly... And maybe better than he thought it was going to go.
Yeah.
Because, like, he clearly goes in there to, like... be the, you know, knight in
hero,
shining armor, the,
yeah.
the hero mm-hmm. who saves the queen.
Right.
But I don't necessarily...
And then gets closer to the queen.
But then he gets put in front of, the like, a top chain of the bodyguard, which probably wasn't what he was expecting, because that's just crazy.
It's insane.
But mm-hmm. he wanted to at least have that, you know, hero status.
Yeah.
Anyways, super suspicious.
Yeah, it's lucky that Mellar happened to be walking by and heard a man cursing in your rooms.
Like, what?
Yeah, no, and then Birgitta goes, lucky enough for a Tavirin, and this is, like, the whole thing, right? People are like, oh, Elaine and Egwene and Nynaeve, they're all Tavirin too, probably, and it's like, maybe to an extent, they definitely pull, you know, their own threads in certain ways, but...
Yeah, it's not the same. This is a...
This is not luck for a Tavirin. This is a super sketchy plan that clearly went exactly right.
It's a plot.
And even in this moment, I was like, no, this wasn't lucky. This guy is sketchy. But I didn't link, like, who he might be.
For sure,
I thought he's just Mellar, a sketchy guy.
It's kind of funny, but the guard, Mellar, is described with, an axe face, a hatchet face, a couple of times in these two chapters before we get the reveal. And when Min first sees him, because she has the viewing of David Hanlon with Rand when they're in the forest before the Fane
incident.
He's
the guy who has the viewing of bruises, right? Or bruise colors?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And Min's like, he's super violent and gonna do violence, which makes a lot of sense now, obviously. But he's described in that chapter as like an axe-faced guy.
Ah.
So if you were really looking at the axe faces.
Yeah, there's a few people.
There's
like
hints.
The Leandrin one is very specific.
Yeah.
The Mordeth or Ordeath or
Fane.
It's
yeah.
very specific, but okay.
Anyways,
I can't read Rictus Snarl the same.
I know. Yeah. Anyways, on the good side of things, Elaine agrees now to have a bodyguard.
I should have a bodyguard.
Yeah,
a small one though. 20 women.
Yeah, well, that's Brigida's plan.
Yeah,
and also probably more than that.
Yeah, and also because they can go in and watch her. Bathe.
Yeah, it's
and
it's
be around her at all times.
It's a Rand and the Maiden situation where it's like, oh, I can have a guard. Okay, here's 100.
Yeah,
he's like, as many as you can get in 5 minutes, and then they come like jumping through windows
away from them.
Yeah,
because you're in danger.
People are gonna try to kill you.
Yeah, I'm actually really happy that I was like, yes, you should have a bodyguard. You're stupid for not having a bodyguard. And then something happened.
Yeah.
I thought I was gonna be like really hard on Elaine.
Yeah.
And then, like, nothing would happen.
Immediately
happened. Something happened.
Yeah.
All right. And then we get this breakdown on this guardsman guy.
Yeah.
Cold-hearted fellow. He smiles a lot. He's a gross pig.
Yeah. It's not great.
And I mostly don't really care about any of this, like, when it's being described.
Yeah. The important
However, now we know who he is.
Yeah. The important part is it does seem like, David Hanlon didn't just show up today in a guard uniform.
Yes,
he applied became a lieutenant with Brigida. They got that position
because Brigida was like impressed by his skills.
Maybe like not the best guy, but he's good with a sword. So
we need some sort of dark friend radar.
Yeah.
Weave or something.
Okay.
Yeah. Start coming up with that. If I was an Aes Sedai, would create.
Yeah.
Dark friend identifier.
And what do you identify? Just like their inner thought process?
Either that or like their aura. Yeah, like yeah, just like okay. Sense, ooh, this is bad
sure,
guy.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, it's magic.
It's totally.
I can probably...
There's rules you have to follow, though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Background checks.
That would make... Actually, that would be better. That would be better.
Yeah.
Yeah. His story's like a little bit shaky. But
because like,
apparently he fought for Morghais during her succession, which was
he like was a child.
Maybe debatably, but yeah. He knows the right answers, so it's like it's okay.
Anyway,
but he
Elaine
did in fact,
is like
work
ah,
his way
he should have a suitable reward, a promotion to captain and command of my bodyguard.
Why not? So this
and
is what
Nynaeve
I was going to say.
Immediately thinks this is crazy.
Well, here's the thing. That's what I want to say. Or is Elaine just like playing 4D chess here and super smart? And she's like, she suspects him.
No, not even a little bit does Elaine suspect this guy. She is like, wow, I really like this guy. He really proved his loyalty to me.
Okay.
I'm for sure gonna trust him a
lot.
The thing is, Nynaeve here doesn't like him, not because she suspects him of being an evil person, but because he grabs women's butts.
Yeah.
And sleeps with women.
Yeah.
So that's why Nynaeve doesn't like him. She's like, oh, sure. Have him close enough to grab your butt.
Yeah, I guess if that's what you want.
Disgusting. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not even like, oh, he's super nefarious.
Yeah.
You should watch out.
Well, the reason...
super convenient he was here. Like, nobody is using any critical thinking skills.
Yeah, so that I was going to say maybe...
Especially in this world where everybody is just like... constantly freaking evil.
I want to try and change your mind, possibly, or maybe just like plant a little bit of a nugget here. So when they're talking about this, Brigida asks like, hey, Elaine, do you want to keep this assassination attempt a secret?
No.
Do you want people to know?
Let everyone know.
Yeah. And, you know, let everyone know someone tried to murder me, but haha, I'm still alive. And Captain Mellor saved me.
Tell everybody he's a hero.
Yes, but she does say keep the poison part a secret, just in case someone slips up on something they shouldn't know. So that's what I was saying. Is she like actually maybe one step ahead? Because she's clearly planting the whole don't talk about the poison. Someone might drop the poison dagger.
Okay.
And it's like, oh, how did
All
you
right,
know?
All right, I'll take the bait. I'll
how
take
did
the
you
bait.
Know? Okay.
For once in my life.
Sure.
I am going to pretend
that
I think that Elaine
is super smart.
Is smart.
And knows what's going on.
And knows how to... Because she's trying super hard.
Yeah.
And she's got these tactics and some of the things she's doing is not the worst. So you know what? Sure.
Okay.
For the sake of nothing, Elaine...
You could have
have a plant here.
Have like an Omurna Balwer situation where it's like, oh, he's the spy master, but secretly Balwer's a spy master. So it's like this guy, Doylan, hate his first name. Sorry for anyone who has Doylan as their first name in real life. Anyways.
Well, it sounds like Doily.
It does. It sounds like Doily. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it properly. Anyways, Mellor put him as the captain of the bodyguard, but secretly someone else is the real captain.
No.
Okay.
That's not this.
Maybe that's what they should
do. And also, what you're alluding to, it's also not that. But I'm playing along.
Okay.
I'm playing along.
I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. This is kind of like the Samael being dead situation.
Right.
Like, I said it because...
Yeah.
Because probably at some point somebody should
die. Is Samael dead?
You know I don't think he is. But the thing is, I have to pretend he is.
Yeah, of course.
Because of the... I have to take a hard stance.
Yeah. Otherwise, he's just going to like come back in the last book, and then it's like, boom.
Maybe.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe he's Nori.
Perfect. Love it.
Okay.
Makes sense. Anyways, there's no time to worry about this whole assassination
thing.
We've
got a lot going on. Let's get to Teleranriad.
There's a meeting to be
there's
had.
There's a coffee date at Starbucks in Teleranriad.
Uh-huh.
Let's go.
Yep. Okay.
I'll have a sugar cookie oat latte, please.
Perfect. Love it.
That's my new holiday one.
Is
I
it?
Really like it.
Oh, it's a real drink.
Yeah,
okay.
It's pretty sweet, but like...
Yeah, it sounds sweet. Sugar cookie, something.
It's pretty great. Because I'm not a peppermint mocha person. You know, people love the peppermint mocha.
Yeah, okay.
That's not for me. Don't put peppermint into my mocha.
Yeah, I
agree.
Sugar
cookie, though.
Okay, that's super okay. Good. Yeah.
All right.
Anyways, there's a back and forth because, like, Elaine just got poisoned. So maybe she should
rest. Maybe you should rest and not go into Teleron Riad. And she's like, I've been resting for I don't even know how long because of this.
Yeah.
And it looks to me like I'm going to rest for far longer.
Yeah.
Because of whatever Nynaeve is drugging me with.
Yes. And then Nynaeve's like, oh, I didn't drug you, but haha, I'm going to drink this tea. And then Avienda.
No, it's wine. It's wine.
I don't even. And it doesn't even matter.
Why do we have Nynaeve pretending that she didn't drug Elaine's wine?
Yeah. Well, there's also a whole behind-the-scenes thing here where Nynaeve didn't use healing. She used her herbs.
Yeah.
She didn't heal.
Because she knew she couldn't heal
which the is like, thing. Maybe. We don't even know if that's how it works. But
she's all self-conscious about her own abilities because a bunch of the kin are outstripping are also her now. Good at healing. Yeah.
It's like, hey, Nynaeve, you're not the only person who can heal.
Being also good at
not
something.
The absolute best. You know what? I'm actually not the absolute best at literally anything.
You know what? It actually makes... You're the absolute best at being my husband.
Oh, perfect. Zero competition. And, you know, you're not...
I could have more.
I mean...
I don't. I could.
Fair.
But
fair.
I don't because you're the best.
Awesome. There you go. Nailing it for now. Okay.
Good. You're supposed... That was a nice thing I said.
No time for this because then Avienda gets mad at, like, Brigida for talking to Elaine some kind of way. And then Avienda's like, you should act like a proper warder, like Lan. And then Nynaeve's like, everybody shut up. If Elaine says she wants to go, then she can go to... And it's like, but you were the one who didn't want her to go in the first place. But now you're just, like, cool with... I don't even know. It's a whole... It's a mess. It's a mess of an argument. It's not even the most important part of this chapter.
It's this stupid argument. And it goes on and
let's
on.
Let's go to Teleron Riad so everybody can listen in on their super secret, not secret meeting.
Let's go where the eyes always watch me.
Yes.
The unseen eyes. Weird. It feels like I'm being watched.
I know. Crazy. You know how many times we've always heard that?
It's because people are watching you.
All the time. Because if you keep meeting in the exact same place in the magical dream world, where anyone can find anywhere,
like,
basically
go to the
at any
waste.
Time.
Like, literally go to the Aiel Waste in the middle of freaking
you know
nowhere.
What? Switch, go literally anywhere.
Go
just
to the
don't,
moon.
Don't go,
go
to the,
anywhere.
Go to Jupiter. Go, like, come on.
Go literally anywhere.
Oh, man. No, let's go to the same place for every meeting.
Yeah.
And then surprise, surprise, when more people than we even see are listening into our conversation.
Yeah.
I do like.
But even when we know people are listening to our conversation, we're just going to keep talking.
Yeah. Oh, man. We're not even there yet. Hold on. Because first off, Brigida and Avienda are going to protect Elaine. And I actually think it's hilarious because Avienda's like, knock twice, then once. Name yourself before you enter. Otherwise,
I'll assume it's
you're
an
enemy.
But exactly. You know what? Great.
Good system.
Good system, everybody.
And then, but Elaine's thought process is like, oh, like, that's reasonable. But it's like, you just almost got murdered.
Murdered.
Like, stop, murdered. Stop being this person's like, overkill on the protection.
Yeah.
Like,
and you're about to, like, drink this sleepy drink.
You're gonna be completely...
Yeah.
Like, yes. Yes. Well, let's get, like, more guards in here, too.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Okay.
Oh, also.
Oh, before we pop into...
Before, hilarious, my favorite line this chapter.
Okay, go.
Avienda is talking about Nynaeve, about how she's overproud about some things, because we know Nynaeve is.
Yep.
And she says she's overproud, as proud as a Shido with one goat. It's one go. You shouldn't be overproud
about
that.
No, see, that's Aiel humor.
That's a great joke.
That's a good joke.
Yeah, I want to put that on a t-shirt.
As proud as the Shido
with
one
goat. Yeah.
Okay. Is it on the back or the front of the Elaine for Mayor shirt? Or is that a different shirt?
On the front it says as proud as a Shido, and on the back it says with one goat.
Oh, and so the Elaine for Mayor shirt's a different shirt?
That's a pin.
Oh, it's a pin on
it's
the...
It's a pin on the shirt.
On the shirt.
How do you not get this?
Goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
pay attention, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Want to go now?
Yeah, now we can go.
Do you want to go to Teleron
Riad? Secret meeting, yeah.
Okay. So, Elaine is going to drink her wine that she knows is drugged. She's hesitant about drinking the drugged wine.
Because you just drank drugged wine.
And then drinks it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Goes to sleep.
Yeah.
She pops up in Teleron Riad in the throne room of the palace. And we get a big description of this place.
Yep.
We've been here before.
Yep.
We've seen it before. We've actually had Elaine spied on by Demandred himself.
Yes, here.
In this place.
Yeah.
hiding behind a pillar.
Mm-hmm. That's the
How
best.
How big are these pillars?
Big. There's the support columns.
Huge.
There's the big ones.
People just hide behind them.
They're like the big ones that you see that support the big structure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Love it.
Anyway. So that's funny.
It is. I mean, is it funny or is it like...
No, it's funny.
No.
If there's any humor to be found here,
There's a few good lines that we can pull
it's
out
good.
Of this.
It's good. Okay. I had to skip a whole bunch of what happens here.
Sure.
Trying on different clothes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care about descriptions of your jewelry.
Skip
it. I don't care about you getting a mirror to look at yourself.
What you need to know is that Elaine and Nynaeve aren't the best at holding onto their images of clothes.
Well, some they're things, also both there yeah. with Tauranriel. Like, they can't get there themselves.
No, and some things are solid, like Nynaeve's Kai sign. Like,
yeah.
That's pretty solid. But
because
like,
she really wants to have
yeah,
that.
And I get that. And it's like, generally, though, they're not the best at Talaranriad.
No.
But anyways,
mm-hmm.
let's say, hey, don't talk about this when Egwene gets here. And then Egwene pops in and she's like, talk about what?
Yeah, oh, it's comedic.
Yeah,
it's so
great.
Good.
Yeah, it's like
it's
perfect
like,
timing.
It is. It's like the stage play.
Oh, yes.
I always think of these Talaranriad visits as a stage play.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then we have Elaine on...
Elaine enters left.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. On stage on her own. And then she's like, you know, doing her own thing. But it's positive self-talk. She's really self-conscious talking to all the...
Yeah.
Ladies in stained glass
yeah.
who used to be queens. Another fun fact, Rand talked to these ladies when he was concerned Elaine was his cousin. And when he first met Dylan,
they
right?
give good advice, yeah.
Yeah. So she's self-conscious, whatever. Nynaeve gets there and then, you know, says the thing. When Egwene gets here,
yeah.
let me do the talking about the thing. And then Egwene says, do the talking about what or whatever.
Yeah.
She's there.
But then Nynaeve doesn't do the talking because she's still got some sort of relationship with
Egwene.
Well,
I think the biggest thing that's happening between Nynaeve and Egwene right now is the fact that Egwene is the Amyrlin seat.
Mm.
And yep. so that dynamic has shifted yep. and Nynaeve doesn't know how to handle that.
Yes.
And that's, yeah. I think, the biggest thing.
Like, still, the power shift between the two.
Yes.
Anyways.
Yeah. And so Elaine tells Egwene basically everything.
Yeah. The fork root in the tea, the news about Elenia and Nain being disappeared now. They're out of custody. Search for spies. Fandine and the kinswoman. It's a whole recap.
It is.
The attack on Rand.
Yep. Which Egwene already knew about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, how did Egwene know about that?
Good
right?
question.
Mm-hmm.
Good question. I mean, probably Dreamwalker stuff. Like a bunch of Aiel
are there.
Oh,
because
she's
meeting with...
I mean, it seems like that hasn't necessarily ended, the
okay.
Dreamwalking stuff. So.
Yeah, no. I'm just it's just
yeah.
a thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then she ends it with saying, oh, I'm going to have a personal bodyguard.
Yeah. And Egwene is like, ooh, I would tell you to join me and Mirandi tomorrow.
Timestamp. There you go. Okay.
If the arrival of all the kinswomen didn't cause some kind of chaos among
wouldn't.
The sitters. And it would.
Yeah.
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 So if it wouldn't cause.
If it
yeah,
wouldn't
no,
cause.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
that's what I mean. So Nynaeve says she thought Egwene had the hall under control now.
Yeah.
But Egwene is like, well, yeah, they do what I say in concerns to the war with Elaida.
Yeah.
Because that's
the
loophole
thing.
Law thing that Egwene did in
they
case
have
you
to
forgot.
Listen for war stuff.
And then we get a huge recap on all of that.
Yeah, the kin isn't part of the war stuff, but it is interesting that they're trying to stop accepting new novices.
No, that's not interesting.
Well, I mean, at first you're like, oh, why are they trying to stop new novices coming in? And it's not because it's like, oh, we don't want to have more Aes Sedai. It's because the Aes Sedai
don't
want to
teach.
Because there's only like 16 or debatably 18 accepted who can do the teaching.
Teaching is under their station.
And now they don't want to teach.
They
but
don't
it's like,
do
guys,
it.
Do your job.
I don't want to have to. We only have 16 accepted. And it's an accepted job to teach the novice classes.
But it's like, not necessarily.
And
we
also,
know.
You're not even in the hall.
Come on, guys.
Teach.
Like, yeah.
Teach.
Teach. Get more Aes Sedai. You're all worried about the number. You have the opportunity to
team
rebuild
teach.
The White Tower.
Do stuff together.
One person coordinate. It doesn't all have to be one-on-one teaching, guys.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
come on.
Anyway, they have so many. There's so many novices coming
yeah.
in. Because when we saw it before, there were tons. This is clearly where they're all coming in.
Yeah.
Right? So, because we saw them going to Tarvaland, they had like 1,000 or
yes,
something crazy.
Yes, it was a lot. It was a
yeah.
lot. Yeah.
Okay. So, Egwene tells Nynaeve that... There's a new novice here.
Yeah, this is actually kind of interesting.
That she wants Nynaeve to meet.
Yep.
And the issue is, when we saw Egwene last time, this is like in the future. from now.
Yes.
We saw her last time she was going to Tar Valon.
Yeah.
And there we learned of a novice who was almost a grandmother who was very, very strong.
Yeah.
Like almost as strong as Nynaeve.
Yeah.
And so I didn't realize at first. I thought Egwene was just sort of rubbing in Nynaeve's face that we met this grandmother who's as strong as you.
Gotcha.
Kind of thing. Which I think she actually might be doing because she seems shocked that Nynaeve has any recognition of this name.
I mean, it's weird because, like, if you've never mentioned this specific name before, then it'd be weird why you know the name, but we learn why she knows the name.
Yeah, but Egwene doesn't. Does she?
Egwene knows the grandmother's name. Yeah.
Doesn't know that Nynaeve knows the name.
No, she doesn't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, you confused me there.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, okay. It's fine.
Okay, so there's a grandmother named Sharina Malloy.
Yep.
And this is a big shock to Nynaeve. And Egwene is like, oh, do you know the name?
Yeah.
And Nynaeve starts saying, it might not be the same woman. It couldn't be. There was a Sharina Malloy during my test for accepted.
Yeah.
But I don't have to talk about that. It's the rule. I don't have to talk about my accepted test.
So do you remember that?
No, not even remotely.
Okay.
I've been trying. Okay, Brett, I have been trying so hard to remember in my off time from reading this.
Okay.
I've been trying to remember Nynaeve's accepted tests.
Okay.
And the first one, she's like running away from freaking a forsaken naked.
Yep.
And then in the last one, she's...
So the second one was she was in the Two Rivers and there's like an evil person who's the wisdom, whatever.
Oh, is that her?
Poisoning kids
is
or something.
Is that Sharina Malloy?
No. Oh. Sharina is from the last accepted test. The last test she goes through. When she is the queen of Malkier.
So, and she has children and she's in a meadow of flowers.
Nailing it.
And so, it's like lovely and wonderful.
Yes, the Great
and
Hunt,
she
chapter 23.
Go back.
Yes, she's from there. So the testing. So during the third test, she's in Malkier.
I thought it must have to be the second test because I barely remembered it.
No, third. So she's in Malkier and Hunky Lan rides up on his horse and she's talking to him and it's like, oh, you're beautiful, I love you, and she's like, this can't be, this isn't real, whatever, and he's like, haha, you're silly, come, let's make out or whatever. So
come see the children.
They have three children.
Yeah.
We get Merrick and Elnor as two of the children. We don't know the third child's name, but then something else and whatever, they talk for a bit, and then Nynaeve says, no, I have to go back, this isn't real. And Lan says, are you certain you're well? I think I'd better take you to Sharina Sedai. And then also there's a mention that Elnor, the daughter, is pestering Sharina about when she'll be old enough to go to the White Tower. So Sharina Sedai is like the Sharina that is the Aes Sedai in Malkier. That's like their advisor, possibly.
Okay.
And that's the only Sharina that's ever mentioned. So it has to be Sharina Malloy.
Okay.
That's the one, yeah.
Oh, I know.
You have to assume that her brain in that memory has more of a backstory, possibly,
obviously,
about who Sharina might
be. Yeah, because she's plunked in this place where she knows everything that's happening. Yeah,
exactly. Anyways, that's the Sharina.
Oh.
Yeah.
I feel like I need a minute.
I feel like you need to go and reread The Wheel of Time. It's crazy. Anyways.
Okay. Yeah.
That's it. That's all you're going to get about that. Okay.
I wasn't expecting that. Okay. Huh. Well, because I knew that Nynaeve and Egwene's accepted tests were a little bit weird and different and were prophetic in a way. In my interpretation, I thought Egwene's was more prophetic than Nynaeve's was.
But I mean, Nynaeve is now nailing, she's got Lan as the husband. There's a potential to have kids in the future and have Hunky Lan.
Yeah, but we're not with the rebuilding. Advisor. I guess we get we have had, hey, listen.
Yeah. Hey, I'm listening. Whoa. You're pointing your finger at me pretty aggressively here.
We have had mention very offhandedly about the Blight retreating.
Yes. If it retreats far enough, you could hypothetically
reclaim Malkier
and kill that sea monster in one of the lakes. But,
well,
you know,
if the Blight retreats, the spooky Blight monster won't
be
there.
Well, where is the sea monster going to go from the lake? He's trapped. He becomes a pet.
He just dies.
Oh, that's rude. Okay, anyways.
That's also fine. The Blight worms are not there anymore either.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. Easy.
Okay.
All right, time to move on because there's more that we have to talk about this conversation.
Yeah.
because there's a whole thing about the Othrod, which has been a point of contention and a lot of discussion, because Elaine asks Egwene, have you thought further on the Othrod situation?
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. Let's get back into what's actually happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So the whole thing was Egwene was originally saying, I want to abolish the Three Alts.
Yes.
And she had a conversation with Swan about that. Mm-hmm. And then Swan went on this big whole...
It's what makes us Aes Sedai.
I remember. That's what separates us. That's what cuts us from the different, you know, every other faction or whatever. So people know that if we aren't are saying something, then we're not lying.
Go on.
So Elaine asks her, hey, have you thought more about this? And now it seems originally Egwene was like, yeah, abolish the oaths. But now she says, no, absolutely not. That's what makes us Aes Sedai.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like she has switched her opinion to that of Swan's, which is, we are doing it. And she also says that, hey, the first day that I have the Othrod, I am doing the Three Oaths myself.
Yep.
So yeah, there we go. Nynaeve doesn't like that.
No. Everything Egwene is saying here, I'm going to take with a touch of a grain of salt, because we have to talk about Halima's massages.
Okay.
Which are, I don't know, implanting ideas.
Well,
perhaps.
You know who wouldn't want those oaths to be abolished? Are the Black Aja.
Yeah.
Because the whole Othrod taking the oaths gives you the ageless face.
Yeah.
And if you don't do oaths anymore, then the Black Aja can't do oaths, because then only the Black Aja would have
ageless faces. That's my point. That's You're saying everything that I was going to say.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
Yeah.
Anyways.
The point that Nynaeve wants to make, though, is the fact that clearly the Othrod stops people who can channel, women who can channel, from living as long as they should.
Yeah, it like cuts their lifespan probably in half.
Maybe because it's for criminals.
Yeah, to cut their lifespan maybe in half.
Yes.
It's like, because Aes Sedai don't live over 300 usually, and like we barely make it that
the
far.
The kin are proof that the oldest kinswoman we know of is nearly 600.
Yes, that's like the oldest of the old, but it's like it's cutting their lifespans like
and Elaine, in half. You know, crazy. She's like, well, I'm not exactly happy about the idea of cutting my life in half, plus the kin.
What happens for people who
to
are
be Aes Sedai who are already over 300?
Like, what do they just like die? It's
no.
like
no. Well, no.
Well, mate, like if
no,
you're
no.
Okay.
No.
Just
no.
like drought, but like I a 600 year old, and you take a bunch of. It's like, do you have like 5 years left?
Probably.
Which you know.
Well, like
no
yeah.
Thanks.
No. Yeah, exactly. You have time to live still, but yeah. I think that it just speeds it up no matter what.
And I mean, the question is like, they don't know, so is it fair to make those people swear the oaths?
And Egwene says, whoa, I'm not making anybody do nothing.
Well, unless you want to be an Aes Sedai, then you better, or you're going to be punished under the full power
of
the tower.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You always have a choice.
Yeah.
There's a choice. Egwene specifically says, I'm not asking anybody to do anything, but if somebody wants to be an Aes Sedai,
yeah,
this is what makes us Aes Sedai, and they will swear, and anyone who refuses and still calls herself Aes Sedai will feel the full weight of Tower Justice,
yeah.
And that feels aimed directly in Nynaeve's face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You don't have to be, but if you don't want to take the oath, that's cool, you don't have to, you can't call yourself Aes Sedai.
That's right.
And you know
but
what Aes Sedai get.
Here's a cool option.
That sweet, sweet Tar Valon money.
Tar Valon money. Well, you also get a lot of... You get the,
What do you get?
You get
what
do you the get? Name.
Yeah,
you
what's...
get the, yeah. I don't know, fear from people in the community.
Yeah, I'd rather have the 300 years. But the money... Like, do it for a couple years. Bank some of that coin.
Yeah.
There you go.
Anyway, here's the catch.
Okay.
If you want to retire from being an Aes Sedai and no longer call yourself that, here's a really interesting way we're going to connect the kin to the Aes Sedai.
But what if I don't want to retire into the stupid kin's rules?
No, that doesn't matter. Because you have to.
Ah, but I don't want to. I want to play by anybody's
rules.
Okay,
so you can retire, remove the oaths, and then go join the kin. But here's the thing. The kin are still bound to the tower in this way.
Yeah.
They still have their own rules. The knitting circle
as long
beneath,
as they know their place.
Yes. They're beneath the Amarlin in the hall. And the kinswomen are below sisters.
Yeah. As long as you know your hierarchy, then it's cool.
But this is actually a super interesting way that Egwene has been able to incorporate these people who already exist.
Yeah.
And then also have a place four women who maybe don't do well in the tower.
Fair.
Who come there to not become Aes Sedai. Enough. They're not strong enough. They fail their accepted test, whatever. Instead of then just running away forever and never, you know, because they can channel a little and probably, they just couldn't handle the accepted test. So now they're part of the kin, which is still connected to the tower, which is, you know.
That's the game plan.
It's not the worst.
It's not a terrible idea.
No, I always thought this idea was good.
Yeah,
okay. I always thought Egwene wanting everybody who can channel to be connected in some way. Maybe not, like, to the tower and the tower rules all. Like, this whole Amarylin seat, I'm the ruler of everybody and everything.
But it's like, what if I don't want to be if I don't want to be a part of your tower?
Yeah, no, that doesn't matter. Where do I go? That part doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So much to Egwene, the Amarylin seat.
Right.
I feel like this has gone a touch higher.
Okay.
But everything she says, again, I'm saying with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Because of the next point.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Egwene, are your headaches still an issue?
Hey,
fuck you.
They're fine. No.
My massages are great. Yeah. They work wonders. Halima's excellent. Shut up, Nynaeve.
Don't ask me any more questions.
Couldn't sleep without her.
Oh, man. Okay, so.
And then she trails off because.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Let's do this.
Okay, another stupid thing. So, yes, there's somebody freaking listening. But it's not just somebody. It's somebody who looks like he could be Rand's uncle.
Because.
Is it Rand's uncle?
It's Rand's uncle. Who is it?
Is it Luke?
It's Luke. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Because,
okay.
Because Slayer could have been Lan's cousin.
Because it's Lan's cousin. Because
it's Lan's cousin.
Isam is literally Lan's cousin. And okay, Luke good. Is literally because Rand's uncle.
This is
uncle.
Exactly what I was thinking about in this moment was Luke and Slayer.
Yeah. Because Luke is the brother of Tigraine. Okay. Tigraine is Rand's mom.
This is
it's
a win.
His literal.
This is a win for me.
Okay. Did you get it?
No, that's what I just told you.
I just wanted, like, in the moment.
I said it out loud, right?
Okay.
I got it right.
Yeah.
It's Luke, Lord Luke.
Yeah. No, it is. It is.
Yeah. Because that's Tigraine's brother.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
We've gotten the description. That's him.
Oh, and that was so long ago.
That's the guy.
I was, like, worried because that.
The last time
my brain went to Luke and Slayer, and I was like, is this right?
When was the last time we saw Luke?
Book four.
Book four. The end of book four.
That's right.
When Perrin shoots Isam in the chest.
In the chest.
In Tel Aranriad.
And then
Luke busts out of his room, clutching his chest, and rides away. And that's the last time we've heard about him, sort of, like, offhandedly a few times. Mm-hmm. But we haven't, like, really seen him since then. Yeah, it's been, like, five books.
Okay, so he's here spying for
funsies. Just hanging out.
And,
maybe wanting to be seen, because, like...
Yeah.
Luke and Isam, kind of, like, same.
Yeah.
A little
not
bit complicated.
Hiders, clearly. But, well, like, when we had Lord Luke stomping around the Two Rivers, he wanted to be...
Yeah.
Big shot.
But also, Isam was the guy in the dream world who seemed to be better at the dream world stuff.
We also had all the Trollocs shouting Isam's name when they were going to fight.
Yeah.
So, like, clearly connected to bad stuff.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, so he's watching.
I'm going to tuck that away, because there's not much I can do with that right now,
there's
right?
not a lot except
I'm
that he's
so
here
happy.
Watching.
I'm so happy. I really thought you were going to tell me I was wrong. Honestly, I thought I was, like, way off base.
Yeah, no, it's so funny, because I could have been Rand's uncle, and I said Rand's uncle.
Okay, yes. Yeah, yeah. Okay, good. All right. So after they run after that guy.
Egwene teleports herself.
Yeah, she's
and then Elaine does it, sort of, after.
Okay.
But Nynaeve doesn't. She, like, hustles
she
up.
Do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
Then we hear some metallic click at the end of the other room.
And the door swinging shut, which is concerning because doors don't swing shut. They're either open or they're shut. So it's clearly someone else
closing a door.
Closing a door. Yeah.
Like, almost on purpose. It still feels like.
Or someone who doesn't know how Tel Aranriad works very well.
Ah, okay.
And that's the point. And that's the hilarious part of what this Egwene's answer
is.
And
Nynaeve's like, how many people are eavesdropping on us?
That's what makes Egwene's answer so funny, because Egwene says, whoever they are, they don't know Tel Aranriad as well as we do.
And, like, collective we, or just you, Egwene?
But even Egwene clearly is way overconfident in her Tel Aranriad abilities, because there are not two, because we only see two, there are at least three people spying on
the
her meeting right
now.
The
unknown eyes watching us, always.
Like, you need to take a back seat in your Tel Aranriad abilities here.
Well, that part, yeah.
You're being triple spied on.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
And she's like, ha ha ha, we're better at this than they are. Like, maybe.
Yeah, I know.
But anyways, we really don't have any indication on who this could be.
No.
And the only reason to say it could be someone who's not very good at it is because if you are letting the door swing shut, you would just, like, imagine it shut.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't need the door to be open or shut. So, like,
okay,
it's fine. But someone else is listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They all agree? We should get out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, but man. Before we do...
Here's more information.
Let's share more important information...
Yeah.
...in this place instead of, like... having a secondary location.
Yeah.
This is something that in their meetings they should establish, right? Like, ooh, if we're meeting here, however, mm-hmm. our secondary location should be, and then they could say something cryptic.
Yeah.
You know, or like go back to the Amerlin study or the go, you know, wherever other places they've met.
There are options.
So if they all can flit there.
Yeah.
But no, let's stand here.
Yeah.
Oh, phew.
Egwene can shout into their actual dreams.
Yeah.
Be like, we're going to meet here tonight. And that seems to be like private because it's your actual
dream.
Non-Telerandria
dream. There's a lot of things that could happen here.
Yeah.
Now, but Kate, we need to get going.
Yeah.
The stupid thing there is that they're stupid.
The Borderlander stuff is the next information.
Oh, the Borderlander stuff is the next information. And yeah. we're going to share it here, standing here.
Yeah.
Because... that guy ran away,
uh-huh.
and some other guy left, so there must be no one else.
That makes sense to me. Checks out.
Egwene is informed
yep.
of the Brayamwood situation with all the Borderlanders.
Yeah, because Elaine's like, I'm pretty sure all the missing Borderlander people,
and
they're all here.
And Egwene's like, ugh, that Rand, always complicating things.
It's like, why is this Rand's fault?
Well, it is.
Well, maybe.
No, it is. We know.
Do we
Tenobia
know?
Tenobia is very upset with the Rand situation. They're all marching because of the Dragon Reborn situation.
Nah, okay.
They think he's in Camelin. But
yeah,
maybe. I guess Egwene put her banner, or Elaine put her banners, his banners down.
Well, they okay. also don't want to be caught, so they're trying to be sneaky, but there's like thousands of them.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, but on the plus side, Elaine thinks that
just
she can
had a
use
good idea.
She can use them to somehow...
Light bulb.
Yeah, secure the Lime Throne, which is like, how are you going to use them to secure the Lime
Throne? I can't wait to see Elaine's... plan.
It's a new army for Elaine.
I sure hope so, honestly.
Yeah, really?
Yep.
Be like, hey, come work for me for a week.
Yes. Although, no.
That's foreign
no,
armies.
No, that's foreign armies.
Now
she
you're...
would,
yes.
No.
Okay, don't
not
do...
not that one.
Don't do foreign armies.
Don't do foreign armies, but somehow...
Yeah. What's the alternative?
I don't know.
Elaine, oh, there's a foreign army over there.
Elaine... has a plan.
Ah, perfect. I love it. Okay.
I can't wait to see what it is.
It's the Okay.
Let's take a quick break before we perspective change.
Yes.
And then we'll come on back.
All right.
Okay, we're back.
Yep.
I had some time to digest some of the information
okay.
shared. That was a big deal. Mostly that Nynaeve thing.
Yeah. I like these chapters.
I actually
good stuff
thought
happening.
To myself that I should go back and read Nynaeve's accepted test.
Okay.
And then I never did. And I figured you would share it with me.
Yeah.
But yeah, huh?
Okay.
How about that?
Let's get into the perspective
change.
Are
we in book 9?
Yeah, we are.
What's happening?
I know.
9 already, hey?
There's a lot of books left still.
Like, right? And 9 feels far. 9 feels obscure. You know, when I used to be like, I don't know, book 9 or something.
Yeah, now it's book 9. You're like, what's going on?
No one knows.
Wait, we have the rest of this book and we have 5 more books still. Like, we got time. We're good.
Yeah, but when you say something happened in book 2...
crazy.
From now?
Yeah.
That was 7 books ago.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Time.
Let's get into Asni.
Asni.
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah, that's how they say it. Yeah. Asni.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she is an original.
Yes.
13 Black Aja sister to leave the tower.
She is. And we've seen her basically twice. We saw her mentioned in The Shadow Rising at the Panarch's Palace in Tenchiko. And we saw her in Fires of Heaven when Mogedion was giving out, like, orders to everybody about what's going on next.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But we didn't know the specifics at that time of her.
She's just there.
But she was given orders with Chesmal, who is also here now.
I remember Chesmal. Chesmal is the yellow, who's a healer,
yeah.
who can also kill people with her healing.
Yeah, because healing is very close to killing, which is, you know, accurate, so.
So don't
anyways.
Just try it out like I had originally
yep.
suggested.
Fair.
Don't do it.
All right.
Okay, Asni's here. She's currently doing some terrible embroidery.
Yeah, she's bad at
because
it.
Because she doesn't want to have conversation with Chesmal.
Because
she's
that
sitting
is,
in a room here with
the
Chesmal.
The conversation is as bad, if not worse, than
as
her embroidery.
Doing terrible embroidery.
Yeah.
Okay, she thinks that it's been months since Mogedion vanished. And I just have to say
yeah.
in this audiobook, Mogadine.
I know.
Just right now, in this chapter, it was Mogadine.
I know. It's like, I feel like half the books are Mogadine, and then they reverse to, like, Mogadian.
Yeah.
I'm a firm Mogadian.
I'm on Mogadian.
Okay.
But Mogadine, yeah, also.
I know. It's tough.
It works.
It does.
I'm going to stick to a good old Mogi.
That's the easiest way to do it.
Yeah. So Mogi's gone.
Yeah.
It's been months. And Asni has had to put up with all sorts of stories from Chesmal bragging about how she saved the Black Aja.
Yeah. So, okay. I'm going to do a quick summary here because her stories are actually very interesting.
Are they?
We've been trying to figure out what's happened in the White Tower since the Aiel War. We've gotten tidbits and hints about what the Black Aja is doing, what Ishamael is doing.
Is that what we've been
doing?
I've been trying to tell you.
That's
something we've been doing?
I know. I've been like, okay, here's the timeline. The Amyrlin Seat, timeline of events.
You're going to break that down for me here?
Here we go, real quick.
Kim waiting. Let's go.
The Aiel War happened 20 years ago. Rand is born on Dragonmount. Tamra Ospenya is the Amyrlin Seat at that time. Shortly afterwards, she is murdered, and Chesmal talks about her part in putting Tamra Ospenya to the question. And we know that the head of the Black Aja at that time was a woman named Jarna Malari who murdered Tamra. So the Black Aja murdered the Amyrlin Seat, who was Amyrlin when Rand was born.
Okay.
Then we learned that Jarna Malari, the head of the Black Aja, started something
but you're not telling people you're doing quotes.
She started something that didn't end for another 2 years after the death of another Amyrlin.
Okay.
So Jarna started something right after Rand was born that didn't end for 2 years. Before we talk about the death of the second Amyrlin, let's talk about what Jarna started.
Okay, was that vileness?
We have heard about what happened 20 years ago. We know Tolveen, the Red, who was exiled and then brought back and then just got captured by Loghain.
That's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. She was exiled because of it, but she, the Red, who's also a terrible person, thought that what they did was necessary. And we also have Cadswyn referencing some vileness that happened right after the Aiel War. And Pavara, the one who's searching for the Black Aja right now, was convinced that the Black Aja existed because of the two Amyrlins who died in the short time frame, and a whole lot of Aes Sedai also got murdered during that time, too.
Okay, interesting.
And the implication was that the Black Aja had a hand in it, and Pavara doesn't like Black Aja because her entire family got murdered by them. Anyways, then Ishamael pops up.
No, her whole family got murdered by Dark Friends.
Okay.
By Darkfriend.
Then Ishamael pops up and he kills Jarna, the head of the Black Aja, because he learned that she started something. So Ishamael didn't like what the head of the Black Aja started.
When did we learn that?
And then she put...
No, hold on. When did we learn that Ishamael did that?
In Alviarn's perspective a little while ago, because that's when Alviarn got put in as the new head of the Black Aja.
Okay.
Ishamael didn't like what the Black Aja head was doing.
Go on.
And now Alviarn is the new head.
I trust you that we already learned that.
Yes, you should. You should trust me about what we know.
Okay.
Now, Chesmal also mentions that she induced the Reds to murder the second Amyrlin. The Amyrlin after Tamra was Ciaran Vayu. That was the second Amyrlin. And Chesmal says she made the Reds, she induced the Reds to murder that Amyrlin.
Mm.
Not the Black Aja, but the Black Aja induced them to. And before Ciaran could arrest her. That's the entire thing.
I'm going to need some visuals.
Okay.
My eyes are starting to cross with names.
Second, the first one got murdered by the Black Aja. The second one got murdered by the Reds.
Okay.
But we have Alviarn, who wonders if Elida had a hand in the murder of the second Amyrlin.
Because
Alviarn, who's the head of the Black Aja, thinks the Black Aja didn't murder her. But here we have Chesmal, who's Black Aja,
who said, we did.
I pushed the Reds to do it.
I see. Okay.
Okay. And then we have a third Amyrlin who is raised and then dies shortly afterwards. We don't know anything about that. And then Swan Sanche gets raised as the new Amyrlin,
right.
The fourth.
Okay.
So that's the timeline of what's happened with Amyrlins and the Black Aja.
Okay. Thanks for that.
There you go. I think it's a pretty good summer.
I can't wait to listen back to everything you just said.
Yes.
And maybe take it in.
Okay. It's like on the record now, so if I ever have to talk about it again, I can reference
it. Note it. Here it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Esne and Chesmal are here, avoiding talking. Then the door opens.
Yeah.
They embrace the power just in case. But it's another Black Aja sister, Eldrith.
Yeah.
Who's a brown and spacey. Because why wouldn't browns be super spacey?
That's their thing.
That's their thing.
Yeah.
Esne demands to know where she's been. And Eldrith is like, I was just hanging out. I was just in Camelot. I lost track of time.
Crazy.
I had some delicious dinner.
Yeah.
But nobody recognized me. It's fine.
Yeah, and but it's important because we learn here that they're in Camelot.
They're in Camelot.
Which is, like, bad.
Which I figured.
Okay.
Yeah. I figured everybody would just be like...
I guess so. Why not?
On their way. Yeah.
Why not? This is the place to be.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. Chesmal is not very happy with this answer. Apparently she was supposed to be back by the afternoon, but now it's halfway through the night. And then we get this bit of a story about, like, Eldrith's warder, Kennet.
Yeah, who so found her. Something and happened then, beforehand, which so is why... Okay.
Basically,
yeah.
If I read this right,
yeah.
This is just a little bit of the story of the pathway that these Black Aja,
yep.
This group, has taken from where they were in, like, Gildan or something.
We were also in Samara.
In Samara. Where's Samara?
Samara is when the girls were there.
There's the circus?
Yeah, well, there's an entire thing about Samara.
Mm,
yeah.
Which is, like, basically around Gildan, around over there.
Yeah,
and then so we get this big whole thing about, like, why they left when they left and why they didn't leave and whatever. And it basically has to do with Eldris Warder.
I think this is actually crazy confirmation because this is confirmation for us that a Black Aja sister can have a non-dark friend warder.
Yeah.
So Kennet is not a dark friend and Eldrith is a Black Aja and he is on a mission to kill her.
Yeah.
Because he knows that she's at least a murderer, and he's pretty sure that she's Black Aja, so his entire mission is, I'm going to kill you, even though I know that killing my own Aes Sedai is going to basically, it's a suicide
mission
for me, because I'm going to die afterwards.
Yeah.
But he's like,
and
it's Eldrith crazy, though.
And isn't willing to face the consequences of killing him and having a dead warder.
And she won't let anybody else do it either.
Yeah,
but like, that's
so they have
crazy.
To run away from him.
And it's kind of crazy that that's
that
a thing that a warder, and like, what a terrible situation for the warder.
Well, yeah, and that makes me wonder, probably she wasn't a dark friend when they were bonded together.
Yeah, well, and maybe.
Yeah, I mean,
how
she
would you
didn't
know?
Recognize that that would be a...
Yeah, or
an
like
issue, or if she became Black Aja
afterwards, like who knows?
Yeah,
but like poor warder to be bonded to this literally evil,
and she like let her mask slip.
Yeah,
it was the whole thing,
which
okay.
is you know, which is yeah. also like you know suspect because they had to hunker down because the prophet and all that, and then she like let it slip. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe it wasn't.
I don't know
because she wants to run away. So, but anyways, it's a whole thing.
Okay, so now. Asni asks Eldrith if she learned anything, but apparently no, except for the pepper sauce isn't as good as it used to be.
Yeah. The you last know? Time you were here, 100 years ago, I don't know.
Yeah, 50, I think it was. But then the door opens again, and Tamila, or
yes.
Tamail,
yeah.
however you want to say it, she comes in. Now, this is a name I recognize.
Yeah, these are all the original 13.
But Tamila, or Tamail.
Tamila, yeah. Tamail.
Did you look up when we last saw her?
No.
I feel like it was recently. I feel like we've seen Tamila most recent than all of these people.
Yeah, she is one of the most... So she was in Crown of Swords with Thalion.
Okay.
So Tamila was with Thalion, and then she was here instead of Ispan, and that was when they killed that... I think it was a kinswoman, possibly...
Okay.
Yeah, so...
Okay, because she's really good at torture.
Yeah,
or she
yeah.
Really
she was, like, a part of that.
Torture.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I thought I've seen her name most recently
she's,
from this
She's,
group.
Like, the most common of all these ones that
yeah,
we've seen.
Yeah, I was like, oh, and I actually thought back to that basement killing.
Yeah.
Which, in you know, it makes sense, because then we get back to that basement killing. But
yeah.
I thought maybe Tamila was there, but no, she's not, wasn't there. With the David Hanlon and the Falian business. No, but that's Lady Cheyenne, not Tamila.
Yeah, Tamila was referenced because Falian wanted to have Tamila instead of Ispan because Tamila is better at like getting information. We saw Tamila in The Shadow Rising in the Panarch's Palace again. And during the whole Liandrin incident with Mogedion, Tamila specifically doesn't help Liandrin. like, attack Mogedion, so... And then she's ordered to torture Leandrin, so...
Okay, all right,
it's that's a whole, right. Okay, yeah, okay, got it. That's the basic...
Okay, got it. Now, at this point, with Tamila coming in, she has been in Teleranriad and has a Terrangreal for it. But we know that this group, when they left the tower,
yeah,
had a bunch of Dreamworld Terrangreal.
Yeah.
That's how they were luring the girls to Tyr.
Yes, yeah.
Right? And so they still have these and they're using them. Or apparently, though, they're not supposed to be, because there's a good chance...
They agreed not to.
They agreed not to, because Nynaeve wounded Mogedion, probably in Teleranriad, and if Nynaeve is capable of wounding a Chosen there, what chance do we have? So you're not supposed to go.
Yeah, that's like their whole, that's their whole deal. It's like, don't go, because Nynaeve's probably going to kick our butts.
Yes.
If we run into her.
If we run into her there.
But anyways.
Now, Tamila apparently doesn't care. She's like, whatever, I'm going to stay hidden. Doesn't matter. But she says, you were right that Elaine would come here, and right that Nynaeve would come with her. They're both together in the palace.
Yes.
Yep. But there's a bunch of Wilders in the palace, which Tamila doesn't care about and is like, whatever, Wilders suck.
Yeah.
I don't care about
only
them.
Only the three sisters are going to be the trouble.
Right.
Because there's only three actual Aes Sedai.
I see.
In her mind.
Okay. And then... She's like, whatever, we can take Nynaeve and maybe Elaine.
Yeah, because their whole thing is, again, Nynaeve...
Mogedion wanted
Nynaeve. So if they can capture Nynaeve and maybe they can, like, give her to a Chosen and reclaim some of their status.
Yes.
Because they've clearly failed a bunch of times.
They're nervous about all their failures. Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, so they're trying to, like, win back some, like, you know, good races of the Chosen.
Yeah.
But they're just going to capture... The plan is capture Nynaeve, maybe take Elaine... But mostly Nynaeve, and then, like, pawn her off, and then we're good.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So then Tamila mentions that in Teleranriad, there were others spying on the girls, too, which we already know.
Yeah.
And then she says, one, a man let himself be seen.
Yeah.
And two, there was someone else she couldn't see.
So she was the third one.
So she was the third one spying on the girls.
Yeah.
And then Azzy thinks about her four warders... who are slowly getting closer to her.
Yes.
And she let the bond slip there.
They don't seem to know that she... Well, one of them is a dark friend. The other three are not dark friends. And it seems like they don't know that she's a dark friend. They're just her warders.
Right, okay.
But she's, like, staying ahead of them.
All right.
But she wants them nearby. It's nice to have some fighting men.
That's right. And then, most importantly...
Yeah.
She thinks if worse comes to worst, she can always reveal the long fluted rod that Mogedion didn't hide as well as she thought she did.
Yeah, it's the return of the Balefire fire hose.
Oh, is that what this is?
That's what this is.
Okay. So I thought maybe another freaking rod, like... swearing oath rod.
Yeah, no, so, yeah.
Because we got that there are tons.
We did.
Right?
So the long fluted rod is the Balefire fire hose.
Is it? Okay. Is,
because we also saw when Mogedion was giving out orders, I think it was Leandrin who mentioned, like, hey, worst case scenario, we can use the Balefire Terrangreal to, like, kill the Chosen. So
it was a mention. Do you remember who was using it?
Yeah, it was Jean or something. Jean Kaid.
Oh, yeah.
Who used the Balefire in TSR.
That's the no one we care about. Okay, yeah. Okay.
But she didn't die from that.
No.
So.
It was a whole thing.
But it popped back up, and it is here, and they can use it if they need to. So okay. That's good.
That's good.
That's good to have on hand. Yep.
Cool. Okay.
All right. Is it going to be used again?
Probably.
Ah,
okay. Oh, yeah. We're not getting mention of that without it being brought up again.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's the end of this perspective.
Yes.
So we get a little glimpse into what's happening over there.
Yeah.
Not much.
No, but...
I mean, like, we're spying. They're learning some things. But are they really capable of doing much?
I mean, they're in Camelin to cause
they're
trouble.
They're still thinking that Mogedion is who they...
Yeah, are reporting to, and like she's...
Yeah, their information is outdated, and they're in a not a great place.
No, they could get, like, roped into another plan. It's possible. We'll see.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Okay. Or, you know, eventually Mogedion will go back, but under the guise of Moradin and whatever.
Yeah.
But whatever for them. Perspective change.
Yeah, here we go.
Are we ready? So,
the good one.
This is pretty good. So we're into Millie Skane.
Yep.
Slash.
Yep.
the Lady Cheyenne.
Who is now more so the Lady Cheyenne
than anything else. Oh, 100% of the time she's Lady Cheyenne.
Yeah.
Okay. We get a bit of a story on where she is, why and she's how the, she got...
Why she's the Lady Cheyenne.
How she got to the place she is.
Yeah.
She murdered a lord and his only daughter
yeah.
of the manor house she's currently living in. She murdered a merchant to take over some inheritance.
Yeah. It seems like the lord, she murdered the lord to get the identity and then the merchant to get the manor house, I think.
Okay, whatever.
No, it's not I really don't that care important. At all. Yeah.
Nope, she's got all her bases
She murdered
covered.
People to get her stuff. There and that's, she is. That's who she is.
That's what matters.
Yeah.
So, we have Cheyenne here, we have Fallon here, and then Marilyn Gamolfin.
Gamolfin. She's, again, one of the original 13.
Who likes cats.
Yes,
I'll never that's forget the one. Gamolfin likes cats. Gamolfin that's likes my, cats. I don't know why I've made that connection.
So anyways, Fallon is the servant because she is currently shielded.
So we're going to rewind.
Yeah.
We're going to head back to a creepy murder basement where Jacob Carradine is being murdered.
Fallon, not
and
dead.
Fallon is also in the table.
Yeah.
Not dead. I don't remember what my prediction was.
You said not dead.
Did I say not dead?
You did,
Good for me.
Yeah.
Good for me.
Because there was a lot of speculation. Because
I was like, oh, she's Aes Sedai. She can be useful.
She's shielded right now.
And she said there was another one too, right? Yeah. Which is Marilyn Gamolfin. It's not Gur. I like it better when there's a Gur. I think it's funnier. It's a funnier name.
That's fine. Yeah. Well, Marilyn has an issue because Lady Cheyenne.
Gamolfin.
Yeah. She is basically ordering an Aes Sedai, and Marilyn being an Aes Sedai doesn't like non-Aes Sedai. No. Yeah, because like Lady Cheyenne can't channel, so she should naturally
not be ordering.
Well, she should be lower on the hierarchy.
Yeah.
But she's not here, but we know that, you know, Dark Friends don't play that game.
Yeah. Okay. Also, just in case anyone forgot, and I remembered, and I love remembering things and telling people I remembered them.
Okay.
Fallon is the one who was in Ebu Dar.
Yeah.
With that whole attack with the Gray Man.
Yes.
And Isban was...
The Golem.
What did I say?
Gray Man.
Yep.
Different.
See, I remember it. I'm saying the wrong things.
I know. She escaped.
She escaped. Isban did not.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Although Isban had her own escape.
If death is an escape. Anyways, okay.
With Buffy the Vampire.
Horrible escape. Murder.
I remember. Yeah, okay. But this is Fallon.
Yes.
She's here as some servant, pretending that she loves her situation.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't want a more terrible one.
Yeah, well, Marilyn's like, hey, you shouldn't do this, but Lady Cheyenne's like, well, Morden told me that this is her punishment, so hey, Fallon, do you want me to talk to Morden and be like, hey, can I get a new job assignment? And then Fallon's like, no thanks, we're good.
Yeah.
Because no, obviously not.
Yes. And then Cheyenne says, when she can channel again, she won't have to be a maid all the time because she currently has
the shield.
A shield that will fade over time.
Yeah. After a certain X amount of time of punishment, whatever.
We'll
okay.
see.
So there we go.
So then Marilyn Gamolfin.
Okay.
I love it. I just don't give a shit. Her name now.
Yeah.
She says, listen, I'll offer you my assistance, but I'm not going into the royal palace. There's too many sisters. They're stuffed with wilders. Everyone would know I was there the second I walked in.
Yeah. Yeah, which is fair.
And then Cheyenne, Lady Cheyenne.
Yep.
Doesn't like being told that she won't do something.
Yes, because like, hey, whatever I tell you to do, you got to do it. So.
Let me remind you of the hierarchy here.
Yeah. She is, they're not 100%, but like she's sure that Morden is way above Mogedion.
Yeah.
And if Mogedion is giving Marilyn orders,
it's from Morden.
And I got to talk about Lady Cheyenne getting orders directly from Morden. That's some pretty good status, it seems.
Yeah.
You got to be like pretty high up.
She's doing a pretty good job.
Morden's nameless.
Yeah.
So like it's like right from the, you know, second from the top.
Yeah, she's doing good.
Yeah, there you
go. She's doing good.
If getting orders from like, you know.
Yeah.
If that's a good thing.
Yeah. Okay. So, we get it. There's too many women in the palace. However...
Yeah.
Gamolfin...
yeah.
...has a contact in the palace, and that is concerning.
It is, but it also kind of checks out, because we know there's a spy. There's a dark friend.
Well, there's lots of spies. However...
Yeah.
...the Black Aja who killed... Or assisted in killing.
Oh, so you think it's a Black Aja who is...
No.
That's what I heard.
Who, okay.
Okay.
Rewind. Yeah. The person
sure
who was responsible for killing, they think it's a Black Aja.
Yes.
That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily believe
you don't. And
unless now we're thinking, but a novice wouldn't be considered a Black Aja.
No.
And so.
But here's the thing.
Could it be.
We know it's probably a dark friend. What I think
could be right.
Okay.
But also, there could be another Black Aja.
I want to correct some terminology that's being, you know, talked about in this chapter. Because Lady Cheyenne is saying, oh, so there is a Black Aja sister in the palace from what it sounds like. Because she would have to be Aes Sedai, not just a dark friend, to do what Lady Cheyenne wants.
Right. But the fact that...
But does it have to be an Aes Sedai, or can it just be a channeler?
Yeah.
That's the question. And if it's just it needs to be a channeler...
Exactly.
Then your suspicion about the kinswomen turned novices...
Because what...
Still checks out.
Marilyn says, Grimolfin says...
Yeah.
Is... I have a contact in the palace.
Yeah, she doesn't say I have Black Aja.
Unreliable contact. Narrator.
It is.
Of Lady Cheyenne,
dun, who dun, thinks, dun.
Oh, good, Black Aja.
Who is it?
Ooh.
Who is it?
Okay, and then the door opens.
Yes! Oh, man, this is such a good reveal.
David Hanlon's waiting outside. He gets let in. And just to reiterate the bad guy that he is, and the kind of... sleazy guy. He grabs Valian's butt and she can't do anything about
it. Part of her punishment.
Oh, yes it is. And Cheyenne is like, hey, how'd it go? And he's like, exactly as I planned it, of course. And he throws back his cloak to show the golden knots of rank on his red coat. And he says, you're speaking to the captain of the queen's bodyguard.
Okay, so is this the moment? Drop.
Yeah, you want to know the word I said out loud?
Yes, I do. Are you, okay.
I said, nice.
Ah!
And like, not, and then I went, ooh.
Oh.
And I corrected myself.
Oh.
And I went, not nice for Elaine. This is a bad situation, but super nice for the plot.
And you said all that. Correct yourself.
Yeah. Well, because...
Sorry, Elaine.
Because this was a really long chapter, and I wasn't quite done reading the whole chapter before we were going to record.
Yeah.
And so I was listening to the last half of the chapter in the car.
Oh, man.
And it got revealed on the audiobook, so then I talked out loud to the audiobook.
That's fair.
And I went, nice! And then I went, Oh, no.
Oh, no. Melar is actually David Hanlon.
Exactly.
It's so good.
It's so good.
I love it.
And it is.
Then you have to replay the entire assassination attempt. It's like, okay, so this is literally like a plot.
That's why I really liked re-listening to the whole thing and really getting a sense of what was going on. And then that guy kind of hesitating before he goes to Elaine and you get that whole thing. But in this moment, I was like, ooh, that's terrible for Elaine. But this is so good.
It's great.
It's so great.
Because, oh man.
It makes things so much juicier and so much more interesting and so much better.
Yeah.
And I love that.
We need like Min to pop in and be like, yo, he's evil.
That guy's a bad guy.
I know that guy.
Yeah.
I've seen that guy.
Ooh, which could happen soon.
How could that happen?
Because we have Rand flitting all over the place.
Not to come and visit Elaine.
Maybe.
You think that's a stop that they're going to make?
Yeah.
And they're going to run into...
But I don't think they'll run in.
Okay.
I don't know. I just would like that. So I'm going to put it out there.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, why not?
It's all good.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't wait to keep reading. Next chapter, though. Next episode.
Okay.
I mean to say.
We're doing one chapter.
One.
Yeah, and then we're doing one chapter. So for the next two episodes, one chapter each.
Yeah.
And then we're back to two chapters each.
That's right. All right, and now I'm very excited to read on.
For sure.
We are on a very good cliffhanger. I can't wait. And I'm also kind of interested to see what else is happening in the world.
Sure.
Okay. And I know we're only reading one chapter, but it's a longer one. So like maybe we'll get some perspective switches. I don't know.
All right.
I'm into it. We're into the book. You told me things were going to start to happen. Things are starting to happen.
All right.
Here we are.
It's a good book. It's a good book.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. So before you are spied on and then continue to just talk about super important things while you're probably still being spied on, I'm going to say that this is part of the pattern now.
Yeah, it's part of the pattern.
All right, that'll do it for us tonight. But thanks so much for listening, everyone. The Wheel Weaves is hosted by Danny and Brett, edited by Danny, produced by Danny and Brett with Passion Socks, Cody Feltz, Mozyme, Moltude, Benjamin, Michelle O'Brien, Jonathan Reese, Jamie Young, Megan Smiley, Margaret, Charlie Haz, and Adam, with music by Audionautics. Be sure to check out our Patreon page if you're interested in supporting us and the podcast. We'd love to send you some Patreon-exclusive merchandise as a thank you. Plus, you'll gain access to our episodes earlier than everyone else. And at the time of this recording, we have over 40 bonus episodes for your listening pleasure. You can find all that and more at patreon.com/thewheelweavespodcast. For general information about our show and information like how to send us shot glasses, how to join our Discord, and how to get in touch with us, visit thewheelweavespodcast.com. Plus, find us on social media on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at The Wheel Weaves Podcast. And as always, be sure to give us a 5-star review because it really does make a huge difference in helping other people find us. And be sure to tell a friend, Riyadh, because referrals really are the best compliment. Thanks again for listening. This really is part of the pattern now.